I'm Anna.
And I'm Jillian.
And this
is the Hat Picks Podcast.
Just two dope ladies talking about soccer from across the country on the podcast no one asked for.
We did it. It's recording.
Let's go. Welcome to our 18th episode. We can legally vote now, and we vote for Hat Picks as the best podcast in the history of ever. There are only two people voting, and it's us, and so unanimous win.
Yeah.
Hooray.
Congratulations to us for being the winners of the best podcast in the history of ever.
We did it.
We humbly accept this award. And we'd like to thank each other.
I was like, ourselves.
No, I mean, we
our
love
spouses.
All of you. Yes, thank you. Z, Anthony, we appreciate you very much. Thank you, parents. Thank you, friends who continue to listen and support us as we enter this next phase of podcast adulthood.
Yes.
Podcast maturity. Maturity. Wow. I think once you hit an age, you have to say maturity. You can't say mature.
So when I was in college, we'd go to, this has nothing to do with this. So when I was in college, the church, the Episcopal Church in Flagstaff, had a priest from, like, I don't know, some part of Texas. I think it was Southern Texas. And in almost every sermon, she would talk about Christian maturity.
Oh, no. I remember you telling us that.
It's just the stupidest way to say that and the funniest thing I've ever heard. Because there's no reason for any of it to be said that way.
Well, this is podcast maturity. We're doing great.
Anyway.
Yes. Well, very happy to be here on this. I don't know. I'm sure it's hot as fucking balls in Phoenix.
I woke up this morning and I have like the little widget for the temperature on the front of my screen because apparently I'm a masochist and always want to know how hot it is outside here. And it was like 6:30 in the morning when I first woke up and it was 90 degrees already. It's just like, no, why?
No, it's like, I get the, it's a dry heat thing to a point, but after a certain point, it does not fucking matter. It's just really hot.
The high today is 115. And then Monday through Thursday, the high is 117 all 4 days.
Ouch.
And then on Friday, the high is 118.
Wow. That is almost on fire. I don't know how you are not literally cooking right
because
now.
I guess
it's because you stay inside.
Yeah. The AC in our house right now is set to like 74 or 77. I don't know.
God bless your utility bills.
Well, this house is like eco-friendly-ish.
Oh, that's nice.
They've made up for it with like our gas, our electric. We have an electric water heater that saves on our gas bill. The only thing that's gas is our stove. So that bill is like $20 a month. Our other utility bill is like $60 for gas, sewage, and trash. And then they're like, so you're really only going to have to pay one big bill and it's your electricity. And that's how they kind of
get around it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I mean, that makes sense that you live in an eco-friendly house. I, however, live in a house that was built not in the last century, but the century before that. So there is zero eco-friendliness about this house whatsoever.
Yeah. This house was built and finished like the week before we moved in. So.
Yeah, that's nice. That sounds nice. Anthony is like, wherever we end up next, I want this to at least have been built in the 1900s sometime. Like, even better if it was the 2000s, but like, at least the most recent century. Like,
that's fair. That's a fair thing.
Yeah.
Okay, we do have a podcast.
Enough about the world and climate change.
Despite the fact that we did, in fact, catch up and talk before we started recording, too.
Right? Yeah, wow. This is great.
Oh, okay, anyway, we do have hat picks and we should talk about them, so I'll start. All right, my number three hat pick this week are international signings. So now that the seasons in Spain, France, and England are over, we're starting to see some international players trickle over to the NWSL, which is bomb.com. In previous episodes, we talked about the signings of like Jennifer Marzon and Sara Buhadi, who are both playing for OL Reign. And also the cherry on the top is that they've recently signed Alana Cook, who is American, but she has been playing for PSG. But
yes.
PSG won the French league this year, so she can come back now, you know? Yay. Also, Ebony Salmon, who had her first practice.
Yay.
recently, I think yesterday, with Racing Louisville and Gemma Bonner and Gara Jones for North Carolina Courage, Natalia Cuica for Portland. You know, the list goes on. We get it. Anyway, we've got some more international players who signed with other teams, which are exciting. So the first signing that was announced is Gaetan Tine, who will be playing with Gotham FC on loan for the rest of 2021 from Paris FC, which is different than PSG. There's two teams in Paris. It's confusing, I know. So Tine is a French international player who has been playing with Paris since 2008. She's been a consistent call-up to the French national team since 2006.
Wow.
Where she has 163 caps and 58 goals. She's like 35 and fucking crushing it.
Jesus, like, Christ.
Oh, God. She's typically in a striker position, which is a great addition to Gotham FC this year because they have a really, really strong offense and they just need kind of like that finishing person. Like Midge Purse sets up a lot of great opportunities. Ifeoma Onamanu has been scoring some good goals, but like they need just a little bit more. And I think a veteran player.
That's not Carly Lloyd.
I didn't even acknowledge her. Didn't even want to acknowledge that she's a part of that team. So yeah, Gaetan Tine will be coming, and that is a goddamn delight. We love to see it. Now, this one is definitely the one I'm more excited about for a lot of reasons, okay? So another player that is coming to the NWSL, and she is in fact returning to the NWSL, not to the team that I would like her to return to, but you can't have it all. Alas, you flex. Anywho, Nadia Nadim is back in the NWSL. For those of you who don't know, which is probably all of you, Nadia Nadim is a Danish international player who played for the team formerly known as Sky Blue from 2014 to 2015, and then played for our beloved Thorns from 2016 to 2017 until she left to go play for Man City. Rude. Mm-mm. After just the one season in Man City, she left to play for PSG for a few seasons. But again, they won the thing, so she's coming back. So now Nadim is back in the NWSL with Racing Louisville, which is exciting. She signed a contract, hopefully keeping her in the NWSL until 2023. She's an incredible striker. Like, if you look up Nadia Nadim, you'll see articles about her, and she's like, prolific goal scorer. Nadia Nadim is coming back to the NWSL. Prolific goal scorer is leaving PSG. So she's
prolific.
So she's an incredible striker and a really great signing for Racing Louisville, especially alongside Ebony Salmon. While the signing is very exciting to me because I love her, to me, isn't the best part. It's not the best part. The best part was the announcement video, which if I remember, hopefully I will, I'll post it to our Instagram because it is incredible. So let me paint a picture for you, dear listener. Picture this. A woman wearing a leather jacket with a hood up to hide her face. It has her suitcase. She's awkwardly holding her cleats so you can see them while she's pulling her suitcase. It's all in one hand. She leaves a building, just some building, which has the address of 10, which is a hint, and we'll get to it. And then she starts walking down the streets of Paris. Where could she possibly be going? An airport? Maybe. A train station?
Get a croissant?
Sure. Getting a snack? Maybe. But no, she ends up at a bookstore. She ends up in front of the very famous bookstore, Shakespeare & Co., which is, you know, my kind of gal. Respect it. It was also one of the first things I did when I went to Paris, was go to a bookstore. Anyway, what is on the ground in front of the door of the bookstore? A violet. Of course, a violet.
Hint, hint.
Sorry. She's meant to be in Louisville. Un segno de Dio. I don't know what that is in French, so I went with Italian. Whatever, you know? A sign from God. Naturally, once she picks up the violet, she goes into the bookstore to get her mail.
What?
You know how you pick up your mail at your local bookstore?
As you do.
Totally makes sense. As you do. So she has a package waiting for her at the bookstore. The package, of course, has a Racing Louisville jersey with the number 10, which is famously her number when she can have it. She puts it on. Now, during all of this, I'd just like to remind you, we have yet to see her face. She puts on the jersey, still don't see her face. They just like show her trying to awkwardly fit her head and her ponytail through the hole of the jersey. Nothing. So she leaves the bookstore now wearing a Racing Louisville jersey, holding her cleats, still awkwardly, still pulling her suitcase, has the number 10 on her back. And then there's a fun little edit. And then we see her name added to the jersey. And she just looks over her shoulder to the camera and just goes, I'm back. Just It is the most dramatic and ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. And I love every second of it. There's so many parts of it that you're just like, that's not where I thought that was going to go.
Oh, man.
But it's so good.
We love the hype.
I wish every player got a video like that because it was incredible. I hope it was her idea. I hope it was her idea.
Yeah. And the cleats, just in case, you know, you didn't know that it was about soccer. We just wanted it to be clear. This is a soccer thing.
She plays soccer. Yeah. FYI. She carries her cleats like that because she doesn't want them to get smashed in her suitcase. I don't know.
Who knows?
I don't know. It was very exciting. But also, and speaking of Danish soccer, yesterday Denmark played Finland in the Euros for the men, which I know we don't usually talk about them for a variety of reasons. But Christian Eriksen collapsed in the middle of the game and is supposed to be in stable condition now, which is really exciting. But like I was like kind of switching between we were watching the Suns game because we didn't get to watch it on Friday night because the Suns are in the playoffs, which is a very exciting thing here in Phoenix. That's also men. We can get away from that too.
We are forgiven.
But but then I like was on social media and they're like, holy shit, this game. And so I was like, oh, like let's go look at this game. And then I realized that it was because he had fallen and was being resuscitated.
Yeah.
And fortunately he was conscious when he left the field. But like he's probably like one of the top two most well-known Danish players right now. So there was definitely a lot of attention, partially because of who he is, but also because that's a really, really scary thing.
Yeah, he's like 29 and healthy.
Super healthy. And I think this is a thing that we're gonna be seeing in the Olympics. It's not people collapsing, but and we'll come back to talking about the Olympics a little bit. But all of these players, men and women and everything in between, they're all going to be so exhausted by the time that the Olympics come around. And so forcing them to do the Euros before the Olympics, forcing them to have all of these friendlies and also playing in their regular season is going to take a toll. Mm-hmm. And where it's not only just for entertainment value, like we're going to see soccer that's not any of their best, but also like it's super dangerous to not take care of your players and expect them to continue to play like this.
Yeah, it was so scary. I didn't end up watching it, but I saw it and I was like, oh, maybe I can watch that game. I think I watched like some kind of like we have because I use your YouTube TV, we have the Olympic channel, so I've been watching that like nonstop. So I decided to go to that instead, but I saw later, and apparently folks in the stands were like, you know, chanting his name. Like the one side was chanting his first name, the other side was chanting the other. It's just very scary stuff. So total aside, but very scary. Glad he's doing better, it seems.
Yeah, he's in stable condition is what everything is saying.
Whew. All right, well, on a slightly happier note.
Yeah.
My number three hat pick is Chicago beating the North Carolina Courage and Kalia Watt having herself a great game. So after a slow start to the season, we are seeing some good ass shit from the Chicago Red Stars, which I love because it's like they're like kind of my second favorite team-ish.
Number two team. Yeah.
Number two team. I'm also really a big fan of Racing Louisville now too. So, you know, I just love them all.
And but Gotham.
Yeah. God damn it. I love them all,
which I feel like is a good place to be,
right? Isn't it? It's so good. But like, we're seeing this good ass shit, including a big old W. Wow. Against the North Carolina Courage, who have been very middle of the pack this season, surprisingly. You know, they come off of like a 5-0 win against Louisville and then lose to Chicago. It's just kind of interesting.
But we do love to see it.
I was gonna say I don't hate it.
Could continue. Would not be mad.
Also, speaking of this game, it was like 90 degrees and Rory Dames was out there in like a full-on hoodie the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was just hilarious.
I saw people wearing hoodies here yesterday and both Z and I were just like, are you okay?
Like, I understand the concept of like covering your body to protect from the sun, but wear some thin-ass shit. Don't wear a fucking hoodie. I digress. So on June 5th, Chicago got a single goal versus the Courage and beat them at home in Chicago, which is dope. We love to see it. And Kalia Watt has just been having herself a season. She had herself a game that day, and it's awesome to see her thriving. I'm loving it. So early in the 7th minute, Watt is in the box with her back to the goal and a defender on her. She's able to like block and spin. It was like, I don't know. It's like something you'd see in another sport almost, like just the like football or something. I don't know, like the stop and the spin. And we really got to do video because this is just this is mediocre content.
It was very reminiscent of like pick and roll situations in in basketball.
Yeah. It was cool. And just, you know, she gets this excellent shot off and it's like happening all at the same time. And like, it's just really cool. It does go to Casey Murphy, the keeper for North Carolina, but dope ass play. Still love it. We got to celebrate the stuff that isn't a goal necessarily. However, Murphy does not do a big clearance, and after a little play, Chicago gets it back and sends it up to Watt, who again is able to get a strong shot on Murphy, who does not collect the ball, and then Mal Pugh comes up, and she fails to convert, but again, another great play made by Kalia Watt. And in the 28th minute, this all happened in the first half. Chicago was crushing this first half. So in the 28th minute, she has another chance that Murphy again is unable to collect, and it ends up going out for a corner. You know, so this is like, when you see keepers doing this, this can, sometimes it's really great, and you know, a defender can get it, it might go out, but this is very dangerous from keepers when they get the ball away from the goal, but they don't hold on to it, and they don't collect it. So we see this go out for a corner, which is retro for North Carolina. And like, just side note, love the pressure that Kalia Watt is putting on. It's just amazing. So,
and it never stopped.
No, she just, it was amazing. So this corner that I mentioned, do you remember the one that I just mentioned? Well, yes. It leads to Chicago's winning goal. Yay. So Tierna Davidson, who we all know and love from the U.S. Women's National Team, hey, gives a picture perfect service into the box. And I don't actually know who got a header on it. I couldn't tell you. But Murphy blocks it. And then Rachel Hill is there to follow through and ensure that it gets in. I mean, she was like, the ball was like almost on the goal line. And she just like runs up. But that's kind of what you need to have in the final third. Like, you need to have people following through, even if it seems like a sure bet. We'll talk about this later. But in the U.S. Women's National Team, there were so many times that the ball was this close to going to the goal, but there wasn't somebody following through. And you just need that. And so Chicago had that and they got their goal and it was enough to win. So we got Chicago up 1-0 against North Carolina.
It's also why they teach you when you're like a kid playing soccer that when you have a corner kick, you have somebody front post and you have somebody back post. It's because of this stuff. Like, absolutely. Rachel Hill was there on the back post where she was supposed to be so that she could get that goal.
Yes. It was very textbook, and that's why it led to a goal. And so throughout the rest of the match, Watt continues to create opportunities, makes plays through the second half, and Chicago holds on to their lead, which is pretty great, in my opinion.
But in the opinion of the pod, I feel like we can hold that opinion as a podcast.
As a podcast, not just Jillian, as a pod, as an entity. Views and opinions expressed are ours. But like, I'm really loving this journey for Kalia Watt. Like, she is making herself indispensable on the Chicago front line and is like, I think, really proving to be a playmaker and a leader. And like, as I mentioned, we love a Chicago win over North Carolina. So
good.
It's just great to see. I hope that they continue on this trajectory throughout the season. And it'll be interesting to see kind of what North Carolina's fate is. It's still very early on, but we're in a bit of an international break right now. But it'll be very interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm excited for Chicago. And Kalia Watt, I think, I don't know what fire got set under her butt, but she hasn't been as integral in previous games this season as she was in that one. So
that one,
I'm hoping we get to see more.
And the one, I forget, the one that we talked about in the last pod, where she and Mal Pugh connected.
And because they got subbed on.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell Rory Dames is doing. And I don't know if it's player management or strategy, but I think that at least one of those players, if not both, always have to start, regardless of player management or not. You can take them out at the half or at 60-minute mark, whatever. But they managed to split apart defenses. Whatever. And in a way that other players on that team don't.
Yeah.
So anyway, you just love to see it.
Yeah.
Okay. So my number two hat pick is that San Diego is getting an NWSL team. Hi. For those of you who don't know, my name is Anna and I'm originally from San Diego.
Hi. Do you know? My name is Anna. I'm from California and I'm gluten-free.
That is funny to us and no one else.
It's all good, honestly. we're a good chunk of our listeners, so.
No, we think we're funny, and that's all that matters.
Yep.
Watch this be the episode that some of our old roommates listen to, like, in full.
Oh, I get it.
Yeah. That is just, that's, I haven't even thought about that since 2014.
Wow.
Oh, God. Okay.
Please go on.
Anyway, so I think it's super cool that a women's soccer team is coming back to San Diego. Yes, I said back to San Diego. It is time for a history lesson, listeners. So after the 1999 World Cup, which you all know because you listened to our episode about it, right?
Right?
Right? Anyway, after the 1999 World Cup, there seemed to be a market and general interest in women's soccer. So in 2000, 20 players, basically the players that won the World Cup, a partnership with Discovery Channel and a number of investors came together to form the Women's United Soccer Association, also called WUSA.
Awesome.
Anyway, the league had 8 teams, the Atlanta Beat, Boston Breakers, Carolina Courage, New York Power, Philadelphia Charge, San Diego Spirit, San Jose Cyber Rays, and the Washington Freedom.
What?
Yeah. We don't have enough time to dig into the names of those, but you know, some of those team names sound familiar, and that's great. And we love acknowledging the history of the sport in America, especially as it continues to grow, blah, 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 back to San Diego. So the founding members of the San Diego Spirit from the 99ers were Julie Foudy, Shannon McMillan, and Joy Fawcett.
Wow. What?
Which is just so fucking awesome. Cool. Yeah. And then other notable players include Allie Wagner, who you hear commentating on US Women's National Games a lot, Shannon Box, and there are a few others. So, like, there's a lot of great players. They never fucking won anything, but you know what? It's okay. Anyway, the league folded in 2003, which is a bummer, but it is very cool that almost 20 years later, a team is back. And it's even more interesting because this team was originally supposed to be in Sacramento. So Ron Burkle and the ownership group were originally looking at getting an expansion team started in Sacramento with an expected first season to be in 2020. So this has been in the works for a while. Then, when the NWSL commissioner Lisa Baird announced, there's no H in that.
Announced?
My Sean Connery, Jesus Christ. Then, when the NWSL commissioner Lisa Baird announced Angel City FC, she also announced that an expansion team would also be joining from Sacramento in 2022. Clearly, none of that shit happened. One, no team in 2020 because they didn't do any expansion teams in 2020 because of COVID. And then 2022 is happening, but not in Sacramento. So then after that announcement, there was no team announcement out of Sacramento, nor has there been any comment at all about Sacramento. It looks like that expansion team, what that was supposed to be in Sacramento, is now in San Diego because it's the same ownership group. And that is not all. So Jill Ellis, former
Jill Ellis.
Shut up.
Did you know that we have a women's shocker podcast?
What if we did an entire episode of Sean Connery? Can you imagine?
It would be so bad.
So Jill Ellis, former U.S. Women's National Team coach, is the president of the club. They're looking to roll out a team name and branding in the next couple of weeks and have a head coach by the end of July. Looking at you, Casey Stoney. Looking at you, Casey Stoney.
And your high pony and trench coat.
She's so cool.
My God.
I wish I could pull off that look and look that cool. I feel like I just look like a serial killer.
She's so scary, but like.
But in a anyway. Good way.
Yes, you know? In a good scary.
Yeah. So to be completely transparent, most of that information that I learned about Sacramento and the expansion teams came from Meg Linehan, who writes for The Athletic and also is just like very good at providing women's soccer information on her Twitter. So shout out to like all of the women's soccer journalists out here who are doing the most to get us the kind of information that we need. So it's exciting to have the NWSL team in San Diego. It'll be the 12th team in the league. And just to throw it in there, the USL, the United Soccer League, announced a W League, which is expected to have 30 clubs in the first season. Yeah, I was also looking, I'm going to do it again. I was looking up some of the names of the USL clubs and where they are because they're in some strange places.
We just lost our USL men's team because we got the MLS team.
Oh, yeah. So here are just, so the Chattanooga Red Wolves.
Tennessee.
Yeah. Greenville Triumph. Hartford Athletic. Then there's Minnesota Women's Soccer, which is like the most boring name compared to Red Bulls. Kaw Valley FC, Queensboro FC, South Georgia Tormenta FC. They're in places that you don't expect, but I'm hoping that we can get one here because we have a USL team here in Phoenix, which would be super dope. Yeah. But it is just exciting to have women's soccer growing in America. We love to see it.
And I think it's kind of smaller market areas. I think it might be a good way to continue to expand the sport. Because if you start to get a fan base in these smaller areas that like maybe don't have any other professional teams or very few other professional teams, that's a way to get your viewership up, more engagement, and hopefully that does the trick.
Yeah.
Dope.
We love to see it.
We do. You know what else we fucking love to see? My number two hat pick, is just Angela Salem and also her goal against Louisville. So, on June 5th, the Portland Thorns beat Racing Louisville FC 3-0, which, as Thorns fans, great to see, because, you know, the Thorns were in a bit of a slump.
Slump, yeah. I was going to say slump, and then you said it, so we're good.
Yes. It could be,
doing great. Slump.
Yes. The belief of this podcast is that it was a slump. So, as Louisville is a brand new team, this was not unexpected from a powerhouse team like the Thorns. And Portland is currently sitting pretty behind Orlando on the leaderboard. But what was unexpected was who scored the first goal for the Thorns. We have not talked about Angela Salem much, if at all, but she has been with the Thorns since 2018 and is a solid and consistent midfielder. Based on what, like, everyone on the internet says, pretty much a super dope human and, like, genuinely nice person. Woohoo! So I'm going to tell you about this goal, which was so exciting and then prompted me to do research on Salem. And then I will tell you about her as a person. I forget. Anna sent me something like late at night one night last week about soccer. And I ended up in this like rabbit hole of like women's soccer Twitter and then ended up seeing Angela Salem's goal and then I was like, I don't really know that much about Angela Salem, but she seems really cool. And it was great. So this is how we're here. This is the journey to this place. So her goal against Louisville comes early. It's at the top of the 8th minute and Portland has a corner kick. I think probably Klingenberg. She usually takes them with her. What is that fucking neck thing? If anyone listening knows what the fuck Megan Klingenberg is wearing around her neck during the games, that looks like a pair of like Bluetooth headphones, or I don't know. If someone knows, please email us at hatpickspod@gmail.com.
So when you search Megan Klingenberg, because now here I am searching it, the four top things that come up for Megan Klingenberg, obviously like the Wikipedia comes up, but it's Megan Klingenberg girlfriend, Megan Klingenberg neck. That's all people want to know.
So everyone else is also wondering what the fuck she's wearing. Okay, anyway, so they have a corner. It's sent into traffic, into the box, and it gets half cleared. And Simone Charlie ends up with it and takes it out wide and gets it to Kristen Westfall. Westfall takes it into the box and eventually sends it back to Charlie, who crosses it in very nicely. Love you, Simone Charlie. And Morgan Weaver gets a header on it, but sends it the wrong direction. What? Morgan Weaver. Supposed to go towards the goal, not away from it. But it ends up deflecting off Rocky Rodriguez, and Angela fucking Salem is there to clean up the mess and runs in and sends a low ball in for a goal. And Michelle Batos guesses incorrectly, and Portland is on the board. And I know that I'm always over here yip-yapping about watching highlights, which you should. But please, like, actually this time, I know you probably never do, but please go watch the highlights for this goal. The celebration is enough to make, like, those of you who are fucking robots and you hate feelings cry a little. Like Anna used to be.
Yeah, that is true.
Everyone is so happy for her, and not only is this her first goal as a Thorn, it's only her second NWSL goal ever and her 7th total in a pretty storied professional career, which, as I mentioned, I was very interested in. after looking into her a little more. So just as like some fun facts about her, she attended Francis Marion University. What? Which is a small college in South Carolina, which is, it's not private, but only has like 4,000 students. So I don't, it's like a public university with like very few people. I don't get it. But she went there.
Cool.
And was not really interested in playing professionally. You know, they, I think, had D1 sports at the time, and she was originally going to be a nurse. And so she kind of stepped away from that, focused on soccer. But after she finished, she was not like, yeah, I'm going to go play professional soccer. But she does do that. She was just like, oh, like, I'm just kind of curious as to what this is about. And so she ends up being the first woman from her university to play professionally. And she was not drafted and decided to do open tryouts for what was the league at the time, the WPS, Women's Professional Soccer, which is like another iteration of professional soccer, top tier professional soccer in the women's game in this country. And she like honestly just like wanted to check it out. I kind of want to talk to her about what it feels like to be a relaxed person. Because, like, never in my life have I ever been like, yeah, I just kind of want to just want to see what it's like. I painstakingly plan everything in my life. So I just want to, you know, nice little interview. What's that like? And so she ends up getting, she does a couple different tryouts, ends up getting onto a team and was playing in the league, but it eventually collapsed.
Ouch.
I think in 2012, and then went on to play in the WPSL Elite for the Western New York Flash, which was like the next iteration. And that eventually was kind of like the bridge to the NWSL, which is our current iteration of that. But like, side note, oh my god, holy shit, can you imagine playing in a league and then like waking up to emails that it folded? Like, that's what happened. It's just like there's just like a swarm of emails that the WPS had folded, which is insane.
You,
to me,
you no longer have a job, figure right? it out.
Not that they get, not that they got paid much, because they really don't. And she also has played in the W League in Australia and in Finland along the way, and ended up spending a lot of time in the WPSL and the NWSL with the Western New York Flash, which eventually became the North Carolina Courage, and the Boston Breakers, which in 2017 also folded. So, like, she was in this league that folded and ended up being on this team that folded. And in the sort of disbursement draft from that team, that's how she ended up being on the Thorns. And that's where she's been. So this badass woman has played professionally since 2009, joined from an open tryout. Wow. Can you believe?
Wow.
And is like truly beloved by like her teammates and others in the league. So when people posted about how excited they were on their Instagram stories, it was so cute. She like reposted them all and was like, thank you so much. Like, you're so sweet. And was like just so humble about it and so cute. I mean, like, I was just like, are you just like a little fairy or something? Like, are you just like... How are you
genuinely this nice?
Yeah,
all the time?
Like, what? And like, not only that, but she's a good player. Like, when I think of the Thorns midfield, like, she is one of the staples that I think of on the midfield for, you know, for the past several years. And these are the kinds of players that I hope that we continue to uplift on the podcast. Solid players who may not be celebrities on the national team, who we also love, but you know, folks that we should also be celebrating. So you go, Angela Salem. We love you. This is so great for you. Like, yay.
I like that we end all of our picks with, we love this. We love you. We love this for you.
As two people that I would, I, you know, this is just conjecture, you know, please correct me if I'm wrong. This is not, this is Jillian's view, not the view of the pod. Like, I feel like we're kind of like on the like cynical slash realistic side of things. Like, I feel like we're not like your neighborhood optimists. Like,
absolutely we're here. Not.
But damn, are we super fucking positive when it comes to this shit? Like,
I feel like if you're not positive about the soccer stuff, it's really, really easy to become cynical. And nothing that these players have done is, well, not nothing, but like in terms of the play of the game.
Right.
Specifically. And the investment in the league and their careers, they work really hard to be taken seriously. Mm-hmm. And so, and we love that hard work and what that produces. And so then we become excited and happy for them and for us to watch it.
Yes.
It's one of the few things that bring us joy most of the time without a lot of disappointments.
Well, speaking of players doing good things on the field. I'm going to shift it to a little bit off the field for our honorable mentions. So,
hell yeah.
First honorable mention today is Andy Sullivan making steps to be an ally. And just, we've mentioned her a couple times, Andy Sullivan, captain for the Washington Spirit, occasional call up for the U.S. Women's National Team. Also all around pretty cool person, good player. So during a press conference after a Washington Spirit game, Andre Carlisle, who is a super dope guy who writes pieces for SB Nation and is also a part of the dope podcast Diaspora United, and also like the Fran Kirby Fight Club or something, like,
yeah,
asked a question about kneeling for the national anthem. And this, I'm going to read verbatim her response. This also came because she was the only person for the Spirit to kneel at a game. And that's why this question came up. So her response is, I'm going to say I am nervous answering this question. It is obviously not a simple answer, and I hope that people I know in my circle that if I make a mistake will guide me in the right direction. It's not an easy thing for me to do to kneel for the anthem as an individual. For me, growing up, the anthem was always a moment to be grateful and to come together no matter what is going on and no matter our difference. I have realized that not everyone's experience was my experience, and not everyone has that feeling when they hear the anthem played. And so I kneel to remind myself not of my experience, but of others. I love this country and I want everyone to feel how I felt when I was growing up. And I was blissfully ignorant of my problems in our country, specifically police brutality. I kneel to remind myself to continue to make myself uncomfortable because it makes me uncomfortable. To change what is going on in our country, I don't know if kneeling has that effect from my actions, but I'm going to keep doing it, especially because just in conversations I've had with Black players in the league, that is what they would like to continue to do. I want to follow their lead. I have had some good conversations with players or just listening to them discuss it. That is my motivation, and I just want to make sure the Black players in the league, especially my Black teammates, feel that support and know that I'm willing to listen and try to make changes. This is the kind of understanding that players who choose not to kneel need to have. Like, Andy Sullivan continues to put herself in a situation that she finds uncomfortable because she is able to recognize that it is not about her. Okay? It's not about her experience. It's about other people's experience, particularly the Black folks in the league. It's about listening to those experiences, understanding your role in them directly or indirectly, and working to fix a broken system or a system that's working as exactly as it's intended to.
Ow.
Commentary. It's about hearing someone else's experience and not dismissing them because you had a different one. And acknowledging that just because she and her Black teammates share the same space doesn't mean they have the same experience. So does she have it 100% right? No. But she is working on it, which is more than we see other people doing in the NWSL. So you go, Andy Sullivan. And I would just like all you listeners to know that in the middle of that, my computer died because my charger wasn't working. And so there has been 10 minutes in between all of this happening, Anna and me trying to figure out, being afraid we lost the recording. So you are hearing the recording part two, but we were super afraid we're going to have to re-record the entire podcast. And as Anna so eloquently put, we are never as funny the second time. So yeah, I just want you to know that, like, while that felt seamless, you're fucking welcome. It wasn't.
There's a lot of stress in between there. I figured it out. It's fine. We did it.
Yes. So honorable mentions part one.
All right. Our other honorable mention, which kind of also is a little bit of a simultaneously an honorable mention and a hat drop. Mm-hmm. We just combine them. Anyway. So
do what we want.
Yeah. It's our podcast. I don't know if you heard. So this week it was announced that Christy Pierce Rampone was elected into the 2021 class of inductees in the National Soccer Hall of Fame. Abby Wambach went and visited her and told her the good news under a ruse of some sort of interview thing for something or other Abby Wambach does. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that it was announced to Christy Rampone, so she knows. She's an incredible player. And her accolades say it all. She's a 2-time World Cup champion, a 3-time gold medal winner. Medal winner. She's a 3-time gold medal winner. She's played in the WUSA, the WPS, the WPSL, and the NWSL. So she's been in every iteration of the professional leagues in this country. It's super exciting for her. She's totally deserving of it. And then, you know, on the flip side, speaking of deserving of it, you know who else has absolutely earned a spot in the National Soccer Hall of Fame? but still isn't in there? Hope Solo. Hope freaking Solo is arguably the best keeper that U.S. Soccer Federation has ever seen and probably will ever see. I don't usually agree with Alexi Lalas for like a number of reasons, but during the U.S. Women's National Team broadcast on June 10th, he said that she is quite possibly the best player, like full stop, America has ever seen. And, you know, I really think he's on to something there because she was a really hard worker. She was a leader and she played great soccer. So agree with her or not on the way that she's handled press, answered questions. She is objectively a great player. The way that she handles press and answers questions is very personal. She doesn't do anything like offensive. She's just like, that team shouldn't have won. And I'm going to tell you that I don't think that that team shouldn't have won. And there are some other issues with domestic violence things that have happened in her life. But this is supposed to be an objective thing about soccer and them being soccer players. And it continues not to be that. She's getting judged for things that happen off the field. And while there is absolutely a place for that kind of criticism, if that is not what they're trying to do here,
right,
then we're not getting the best players into the Hall of Fame. So whatever personal gripe a person may have with her, like, she's a great player.
What is the criteria for getting, like, what is the soccer criteria for, like, being in the Hall of Fame?
So there's a selection committee, which will reduce the overall number of voters involved in the election. Eligibility criteria. To be eligible for the National Soccer Hall of Fame player ballot, an individual must have met number one and either number two or number three. So number one is a player must have been retired for at least 3 full calendar years, but for no more than 10 full calendar years prior to the year of induction. A player must have played at least 20 full international games for the United States men's national team, women's national team, or extended national teams, including the Paralympic beach and futsal. And a player must have played at least 5 seasons in a United States First Division Professional League and been a postseason league all-star at least once.
Yeah, that would probably be Hope Solo, right?
Yeah. And people don't like Hope Solo because she's outspoken. She puts the Federation on blast. She asks for equal pay. She asks for all of the things that players get lauded for asking for now. The only additional thing is that she was also very critical of other teams. Like, after the 2016 Olympics, she was like, Sweden didn't deserve to win. They just bunkered, and that's not an, like, that's kind of like a shitty way to play soccer. And that's totally a fair opinion for her to have. It makes the U.S. Soccer Federation look bad. And
yeah, so, they kind of do that all on their own, don't they?
Just, they don't need any extra help doing that. And she was just like, I think that that was bad. And I, that's my opinion. And you can't tell me not to have it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Oh, hat drop. Also honorable mention hat drop combo. I'm dropping my hat. You can't see it, but it's
happening. Just thinking that.
I was thinking the other day, I was like, should we call our honorable mention section hat tips?
Oh, probably. That's actually a really good idea. And I don't know why it's taking us 18 episodes to get there.
All right. Maybe we'll phase it in. Maybe we won't. It's our podcast.
We'll do what we want.
Speaking of the U.S. Women's National Team, Anna and I have a shared number one this week. And it is the U.S. Women's National Team game versus Portugal, but mostly Inés Pereira.
Yeah.
So this past Thursday, June 10th, the U.S. Women's National Team was back in action, baby. Yes. Oh, yeah. They played against Portugal, who, as of this morning, June 13th, we're ranked 29th in the world. We are ranked number one. Numbers, math, it's a game. We get it.
It's a disparity.
So like we mentioned before, I believe in the last pod, this summer series is likely just a big hype move by U.S. Soccer before the Olympics, but it's also Vlatko Andonovski's last chance to make the call on his 18-person roster for the Olympic team, which I don't envy you, my man. Best of luck.
Yeah, man.
So this was an okay game for the United States, who ended up winning 1-0. But the real star of the game, in this podcast's opinion, was the keeper for Portugal, Inés Pereira. Because wow, was this 22-year-old on fire, and was a major reason Portugal only lost by a single goal. Many wows, etc. squared, if you will. So this pick could go on for hours if we talked about all the great saves Pereira had, but we all know you would love it if we did that. However, we have a little something called self-control. We do not have much of it, but enough.
Just enough.
So in the 13th minute, Rose Lavelle is charging like a goddamn gazelle down the left side of the pitch and sends an absolute bullet from distance. Definitely outside the 18, like not a typical place. I mean, I love it when people shoot from distance, but it's not typically where people take shots.
Yeah.
And she is definitely going for goal. This is Rose Lavelle, player who scored the icing on the cake goal in the 2019 World Cup, scored the initial goal versus the Netherlands in November 2020, the game winner versus Canada in the She Believes Cup in 2021. She is lethal with the left foot from way the fuck out, and Pereira is fucking there and lays out to send it wide. Incredible. Just incredible.
Wow.
So again, in the 34th minute, Rapinoe, after... We have to talk about this short corner situation for a minute, okay? So in this game, for a few corner kicks, Megan Rapinoe was taking short corners. Usually Crystal Dunn was over there, which we love, and this was one of those cases. But, like, what the fuck was that? Why? I don't understand that decision.
Well,
someone explain it to me.
So Z and I were talking about this because, obviously, we're watching the game. And I think that Vlatko was trying something new with the short corners, and he thought that the Portugal game was a safe place to do that because they're just competitive enough with some of their players being really, really great players that it would propose a little bit of a challenge, but also easy enough that, like, if it got cleared, it would be okay. But they were all bad. That's really fair. Really bad. Really,
we
really
do not
bad.
Support – this podcast does not support the short corner. That's in correct. This context. So anyway – Megan Rapinoe does a short corner to Crystal Dunn, who gives it back to Megan Rapinoe, who sends it into the box, and it is deflected, but our fave, C-Press, which is Anthony's nickname for Kristen Press because it sounds like Seacrest, so is there to follow with a very powerful shot. However, do you know, listener, who else is also there? Pereira, with a dope-ass split-leg foot save to stave off the U.S. once more. I just want to say that I think it would be easy at this juncture to say that the U.S. was, you know, just having trouble finishing in the final third, which they definitely were for this, like, entire fucking game. But that alone is, like, unfair to Pereira. Like, it's not giving her the credit she deserves. Like, it's a both and situation. Like,
yeah.
Yes, they were having trouble finishing, but also she was on fucking fire.
Yeah, she was incredible. I think by the, like, 10th or 15th minute, I texted Jillian and I was like, she's... a pick, right?
This is a pick, yes.
Like, she's incredible.
100%.
So we're also going to take this time to shout out Jessica Silva, who also played a brilliant game for Portugal and was the biggest offensive threat to the U.S. And she plays for Kansas City and the NWSL, so you can watch her play more. And she used to play for the Olympique Lyonnais in France. Yeah.
Anna and I were having a discussion prior to the podcast about loudness levels and how, like, we can both be loud people, but then I just take it to, like, a new level on the pod. That was a great example of that.
But I think it's important that we keep that. So she's, like, the only player for Portugal that plays for a big, well-known club like this. And now is in Kansas City. So that's going to be super dope. And then in the 70th minute, Lavelle has another bullet from outside the 18, this time from a turnover. And she does, like, a little turnaround shot and then goes straight for the goal. Pereira does the double hand push to get it over the back of the net for another save. And so we're still scoreless with 20 minutes plus stoppage time left, which has to feel like such a huge accomplishment for Portugal while simultaneously being a huge bummer for the U.S. women's national team.
Correct.
So then in the 76th minute, the U.S. finally converts off a beautiful corner from Kristen Press, C-Press, if you will. I call her CP23 because
– oh, nice.
Well, but also because here, Phoenix, we have – and the Suns, we have Chris Paul, who is CP3. So CP23. It just kind of – yeah. Anyway. So off a beautiful corner from Kristen Press, Sammy Mui gets ahead on it, and it goes – right in the back of the net. It's a gorgeous header. She like doesn't have to jump or move her feet at all. She just like uses her head to direct it in. Also, she's like
6 feet tall.
Yeah. So like there's a lot of power behind it because, you know, Tower of Power, power, that whole thing.
Tower of Power.
I'm just going to leave that. But there wasn't a lot that Prayer or anyone else could do, quite honestly. And everything was just like perfect, you know?
I was going to say, and the commentators mentioned that Prayer had actually backed herself up into the goal, which is just unfortunate, but also pressure of the situation. I get it. I don't, yeah. But I get it.
Yeah.
And so even if she had been able to stop it, it would have probably been a goal anyway, because she was inside of the goal.
Yeah. So it's 1-0 for the U.S. Women's National Team. Then, in the 81st minute, we get a disallowed Carly Lloyd goal because she was so fucking cocky about it. But it was offside. And, you know, sometimes you just have to appreciate someone getting knocked down a peg, even if the person is on a team you support. But especially if it's Carly Lloyd. God. Anyway, we would have been happy with the 2-0 lead, but in the end, the 1-0 was enough for us to win. And also, it meant that Carly Lloyd's goal went away, which, you know, if it happened to any other player, I would have been, like, real sad. And, you know, we don't dislike Carly Lloyd because she's good. We dislike Carly Lloyd because she won't shut the fuck up about how good she thinks she is. You know? And how she's like...
the goddamn truth.
And also because she, like, thinks that she's the only person who works hard to be as good as she... Like, in the off season, I run up hills for 23 hours out of a 24-hour day so I can be fit. Bitch, shut up. Nobody cares.
It's like, yeah, you don't have a monopoly on, like, hard work.
No, other people work hard to be good. And just because you work hard in a different kind of way that works for alone, you, doesn't mean you're better. And, like, this, like...
I was off in the woods.
Anyway. I have two hills that I will die on. One, that Crystal Dunn is arguably the best player on the women's national team right now. And also that Carly Lloyd is the terrible.
The podcast approves those hills.
Yeah, that's where we live.
Stamp of approval.
We have flags on both of those hills, and they're flags with our logo. Anyway, that's basically it. The U.S. needs to do a lot of work, quite honestly, before the Olympics. Portugal and Pereira put up a damn good fight. And I think that Nigeria is going to pose more of a threat than the U.S. is ready for, even though they lost their first game. Jamaica is the other team that they're playing. Is that who they play tonight? Yep. Hey, yes. Look, I can read the notes. They're right there in front of my face. I think that these teams are going to pose more of a threat than they think they will. I don't think either of those teams are going to win because they're just not as good as the U.S. Women's National Team.
The U.S. is going to have to actually try.
Yeah.
They can't coast.
Right. And I think that they need to remember that they have to try because as soon as they get to the Olympics, yes, all of these teams are going to be exhausted. They're playing a lot of games. Australia is playing games right now. Denmark is playing games right now. Norway. Like, they're all playing games in friendlies. And so they're all going to be tired. But you still have to play like they could beat you.
Yes.
And that's not what's happening right now.
And aren't we in a pretty fucking awful group? Like, in the sense that, like, we are with a bunch of good teams.
Yeah.
I know Australia and New Zealand are in that group. Is Sweden also in that group?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make me happy.
Oh, no. That's going to be bad for us.
I swear to God. If I don't see Midge Purse on that roster, and if I don't see – I think she's the only – maybe Casey Short, but I wish that she'd get more time. Defensively, I'm just tired of Kelly O'Hara. We could do a whole Olympic episode.
I think we probably are going to need to at some point because there's a lot to consider. I think that we can, you know, come up with our own ideas for who we think should be on the roster. You know, in the long run, it is, of course, a good thing – for the national team to have so many wonderful players in the ranks. It's just a tough decision for the coach to make. And ultimately, you know, it could have some effects on our Olympic play, depending on who he goes with, but there are no shortage of good players. And
no,
it's going to be, it'll, you know, I think it'll be hard for some folks to get the no, but like Crystal Dunn she was like the last person cut from the 2015 World Cup roster.
Mm-hmm.
And look at her now, like
Incredible.
Indispensable. Yes.
You need her.
Incrispensable. I don't know. I'm trying to combine those words. They seem very similar.
What?
Incrispensable.
I just think of something that's crispy. Yeah, more chances to watch the U.S. Women's National Team before the Olympics. So today, June 13th, there is a game versus Jamaica at 9 p.m. Central, which is already going to have happened by the time you listen to this.
Yeah.
And then Wednesday, June 16th versus Nigeria at 8 p.m. Central. And I think all these games are on FS1.
Sure. I don't remember. They're on television.
They are. I'm pretty sure they're on FS1, but I will double check as we do this. And then July 1st versus Mexico at 6 p.m. Central. And then again on July 5th versus Mexico at 4 p.m. Central. The send-off series will be on FS1 and ESPN. So that's the July 1st and July 5th games. Anyway, all games are on FS1. You should watch them. And you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at HatPixPod You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at HatPixPod. And you can send us an email at HatPixPod@gmail.com. For the love of God.
I don't know if this part made it into the recording, but our recording stopped yet again. And so this is our third try at this today, so we are calling it quits. Hope you have a great fucking day. On that note, I'm Jillian.
And I'm Anna.
This has been
the HatPix Podcast.
For the third fucking time.
Jesus Christ.